only him, but
my friend will see that too.
Yes.
Testing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That'll be one of the issues we'll talk about. But let's start at the beginning. The last 98 years, Shemitah has had a dimension that it has never had before. Whenever we'd read about Shemitah, it was a philosophical construct. It was, again, I use a word almost fictitious in the sense that it didn't exist for us, because when did we have to worry about Eretz Yisrael? When there was Shemitah and the count was known, there's no doubt about it, those who would plant a couple of potatoes or whatever, you know, they'd figure out what to do. Halachos were clear. 98 years ago, things changed. 98 years ago, that Shemitah year, Tof Resh Mem Tes, was the biggie. Because for the first time in modern history, at least since the 1500s, I should say, Eretz Yisrael was a center of attention of wealthy industrialists, international philanthropists. In the 1500s, it was Don Yosef Nasi and Dona Grazia who bought up all of Tveria with the silk industry. Dona Grazia, she was Spanish, from the Spanish exiles. Dona Grazia and Don Yosef Nasi. Don Yosef Nasi had the status in the 1500s of a prince no different than the Prince of England there. He owned an island in the Mediterranean. It was international law that he was the owner, just like the Pope was the owner of the Vatican. And he went ahead, and because of his commercial ties to Turkey, the Ottoman Empire at that time, the Turkish Empire, allowed him to go ahead and buy up the area in Tveria, and it was an experiment that failed. But at least there was the desire to go ahead. In those days, surely the Shemitah year came. You worried about Shemitah. Not until 98 years ago did we have any tararam about it, when the Rothschilds and the Montefiores started to buy the land outside of the walls of Yerushalayim and outside of the Yerushalayim area, the Petach Tikva area, the Zichron Yaakov area, those new areas which we call the colonization areas. Now they came from Europe, and they started to be farmers for the first time in the history of modern Jewry. In Eretz Yisrael, did they till the land? We are going back to the times of Tanoim, when we had the classical Am Haaretz, the farmer. Then and only then did Shemitah become a whole hullabaloo. As just to review our last shiur, where I told you, those who said clearly Shemitah does not have any validity today whatsoever. Certainly not midaraisa, afilu midarabonana. So if it's midarabonan, we've got to look every single which way to be able to accommodate the economic demands of the day. Let's do like mechiras chometz. Some said you don't even need that. And the others say, sorry, the kedushas Eretz Yisrael must be maintained, especially with Shemitah, and the politics back and forth.
It's not exactly an issue, but it's sort of an issue. I read in one of the Pesach books that came out that they had a small section about Shemitah also. And he said that Rove of the Torah scholars, he says two things. Rove of the Torah scholars did not hold by the Mechira, and also that the Mechira was only for people in Eretz Yisrael and not for people in Chutz La'aretz.
But did he also tell you?
I wonder if either one or both of those were actually.
Okay,
true.
Now, but did he also tell you how he arrived at that rove?
No.
Then let me ask you another question. Did he also tell you that rove Rishonim, most of the Rishonim, maintain that Shemitah at best is Midah Rabbanan today? So everything that he told you is entirely correct. But you know my insanity, Joel. You know me like a book. I can't, I'm, you know, I only ask questions to embarrass. There is no one lying to you. It's only half-truths. That's all. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, it's a boring subject. It's very boring. It's tedious. I wanted to learn it all at Pesach. I changed my mind because it's so tedious. But the question that you asked, we just have to go and survey. Am I ready to show you the numbers? The covered gun. No secret whatsoever. Rove Rishonim hold that Shemitah today is certainly not, it can't be Midaraisa. So you have less problems than you have with the Mechiras Chametz. Now, when they say, however, that Mose didn't hold from this legal fiction, this Ha'aroma, to go ahead and sell the Karka for a period of 2 years, and we'll learn the Shtar Mechira, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, I hope we'll to spend on it. Let's learn what it says there. Okay? Then we have to, and that's Rav Kook, then we have to go ahead and say, look, we're dealing here in two levels. The halachic level, the legal letter of the law is one thing. But Gevald, we were finally zochet to Eretz Yisrael. Isn't there a higher morality kind of a, there's got to be a higher level than simple legalese, than the simple halacha. There's got to be a Zohar here. You understand? There's got to be a Nistar. Huh?
No.
More, much more than the, there's a total, you know, AM and FM is not, well, FM is not Lifnim Mishur HaSadim for AM. It's a different wavelength altogether. You hear? Mm-hmm. That's the issue. We finally came back. We finally are coming, we're not living off the fat of the land. We have to work with our own hands. We're reliving the days and the era, the epoch of the Tanoim. That every 7th year the farmers should be able to go ahead and cease and desist. The rest of the population will support them so that they too can become part of the mainstream of Torah. And the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, that is enhanced by it. So it's not that to miss this. And here's where Rav Kook waxes eloquent. We'll learn a tshuva of his. I don't think we'll get to it tonight. We'll learn a tshuva of his. I says, Gival, look what you're missing. I hear what you say. And he starts up, you see, and this is the issue. This is where Rav Kook is Rav Kook. I'll tell you the truth. He starts off in his tshuva, the first thing is to tell you that Rav Zachya HaLevi from the Rishonim holds Shemitah today? Nothing. Zip. Certainly not. He starts off. By the time he ends already, that's a different story. So what if it's Midah Abana? Look at the opportunity you're missing in the active sense, not in the restrictive sense. If you don't go ahead and support those who want to keep Shemitah, if you don't push the issue, the concept called Shemitah, you know, it's, this is my analogy. Can you imagine if we mechanized all of Shabbos life, where everything is olam k'minhag onoi, you weren't over in one iser, not the oraisa, and certainly, and not even the rabbana. What would Shabbos be? Here the telephone is ringing with a Shabbos telephone and the lights are on and off and the television can go on and off. Right. And if you have snow, it'll automatically melt, right? And the water will automatically, it's all programmed, everything is programmed. What sort of Shabbos? What kind of a Shabbos are they? Everything will be up in halacha, no two ways about it.
What if
the same thing here?
Yeah, maybe.
That's Shabbos.
You can't
flavor.
Flavor.
Sure.
Flavor.
There's a certain element,
a certain
spirit of
Shabbos. If you didn't have chicken, it wouldn't be Shabbos.
Listen to me, Mike.
Because my parents.
Listen to me, Mike. Listen to me, Mike. One day, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, you're gonna finally mellow. Mike, it's been happening. I've seen it. Baruch Hashem, it's almost 20 years that I know you.
Rav Kook, or whoever, the one that had these terrible pains on his skin or his shoulders and whatever, and wouldn't have him fixed because
Ben-Gay.
Of Shabbat.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have Ben-Gay because of Shabbat. Now, what horrible spirit of Shabbat. If we found a way that he could have had his skin fixed up and the pains gotten rid of, that would take away from Shabbos for you?
Okay.
And if you told us about the aspirin, that really it's the symptoms that it's curing and not the disease,
but
is that taking away for Shabbos?
But I'll tell you that you're off base. You know why? Because where you give me this example of Pikuach Nefesh, he went so lifnim Mishur HaSadim that it was unbelievable. But that was for him. That was for himself. That was for himself personally. Yeah.
That isn't, he certainly wouldn't say that that's the halacha.
And if you found a way of driving this, if you could find something, you found an old sefer that was disappeared, there it is over there, and it said on pages 100 that all the Tanaim have said, you're allowed to drive on Shabbos. To shul. You're allowed to use a car to go to shul. Would you say that takes away? And you can't use it for anything else.
I won't say. All of you guys will say it. It's not Shabbos Day. The whole sociological structure will change.
But is that what Shabbos is? Discomfort?
No. Flavor.
Well, we've
flavor.
Let me get the other side of the thing. It's sort of dangerous.
That's it?
I mean, if you have, you have a thing we can argue about, and I can say, look at this, look at that. Okay, so then we can talk. Then we have some standard to go against. Now you start talking about something, there's a flavor here. I mean, then how can you, some people say, you shouldn't use, Moshe says you can't use anything except, he would also all
Shabbos clocks.
All Shabbos clocks. Even for lights, he would like to. He says, but everybody uses it, so I'm after it. I mean, but air conditioners, he says, everyone should freeze.
All right, but allow me, allow me, please, though, to address what you read in Rav Kook, which we will learn once again. At the end of his chapter, he starts off, as I say, Shitas Rav Zrachya HaLevi Hi, that v'zeh hazman, today, Rav Zrachya holds, that ein shmita noheges klal afilu midivreyem. There is no shmita even midarabonon. Is there chometz today midarabonon? I would think so. Okay? Is there chometz midaraisa today? I would think so. And we're selling it. And no one's yelling. Couple of yechidim don't want to eat from it. Gesunta hate, but we don't make, we haven't yet run over to say, this is sold chametz and this is fresh chametz and we don't eat from this, we eat from that. You see. That's his start. By the time he finishes, Amnam Yesh Lefakpek, and he analyzes it, and we'll learn it. Be'ezras Hashem. Okay? Amnam. Yesh lefakpek al heter ha'aroma kazos. You have one basic flaw in this allowing this legal fiction. Mitnei nikar hadavar shehi ha'aroma. Everyone sees it. It's an open legal fiction. But aval ra'u letzareif heter zeh im svoro dila'el shehayishmeilim einam olde avodah zarah. But given the conditions, even though I'm telling you that you're losing an opportunity over here to rise to the occasion. Remember, after all is said and done, when you sell it to Arabs, you're not selling it to Ovdei Avodah Zarah, which was the major problem with the Heter Mechira, that the statement in the Gemara says you don't do anything to go ahead and allow an Ovdei Avodah Zarah to take possession, to take title of Eretz Yisrael. They're not Ovdei Avodah Zarah, you see. Which again is a... is a finger. Umutar limkor lahen. Im yefak peik adam b'davar ne'emar de'isur Torah leko b'chai gavna shemocher letovas Yisrael. And if you'll say, you want to argue, now just a minute, there's no isur here. You know why? Because it's no ovid avodah zarah, and the selling to the goy is only to the economic benefit and to the ability of the Jewish community to sustain itself there. V'im kein b'midi derabbanan. So if so, we're dealing with the whole issue of shmita is derabbanan. U'b'makom techat gadol kazeh, and you have pikuach nefesh, and we're talking about 1900s. Okay, is yesh lelech lekula? Why not go to Kula? You have so many reasons to be lenient. Just you, if you want to say that this is just for economic advancement, that's nonsense, etc., 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 etc. But still, nonetheless, his basic position was Gevalah. I'm doing this. There's no question about it that halakhically it's correct. But let's look at it in a different dimension. Shabbos Aretz, you're missing the flavor, and it's not chicken soup. Chicken soup is gastronomical sentimentalities. To be able to go and relive this institution, you have to realize that this is it's because we're not living on that dimension anymore. That we're so dead to it, we're so insensitive to it. In any event, what you have before we get to Rav Kook, what you have in front of you
is something very strange, at least to those of you who are not familiar with it. You have a page that I've reprinted from a sefer called the Aruch HaShulchan. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan was a perish on the Shulchan Aruch. And if it's a perish on Shulchan Aruch, it means automatically there is no Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel in it, because Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel doesn't exist today. It doesn't exist in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not there. Elama, you've got to understand that the same author of the Aruch HaShulchan went ahead and published 8 additional volumes called Aruch HaShulchan Ha'asid, the future Aruch HaShulchan. Yeah.
Eight volumes.
8 printed volumes.
I have those.
I don't know. you'll let me into the house, I'll check. It's not part of the regular set.
No, it's not.
It was printed once in our lifetime and only once. That's by Mosada Rav Kook. And it's 8 thin volumes where the man goes ahead and realized after he finished his whole parish of Aruch HaShulchan that there's something's missing there. He knew it was missing from the Shulchan Aruch, but to write a complete magnum opus, he has to go ahead. So he wrote on those things which have absolutely no application to today. Tumah Tahara, Pesach Mikdash, Hilchos Mashiach, Hilchos Malachim, and here, Shmita V'Yovel. All of the mitzvos atluyos ba'aretz, all of those things which we can only observe in Eretz Yisrael, Shvius and Orla and Peya and Bikurim, all of these things.
And he wrote
that. Yeah, he wrote on it. And he has to go ahead.
Is that in print?
Yeah, available everywhere. And so I wanted to...
quality.
Aruch HaShulchan Ha'atid. That's all. Okay. That's it. I wanted to learn some of the parts with you from here, you know, giving us the basic fundamentals, and then 2 things from Rav Kook. The tshuva that he wrote about it, the Heter Mechira, let's make a Mechiras Chametz. And also from Rav Kook, as I say, his philosophical rising to the occasion. And then Im Yitzhak Hashem, as time goes on, I would like to share with you this, the whole Machlokes. This is an anthology which I picked up quite by accident, but obviously there are no accidents. I had missed a train, and I'd missed someone and an appointment, so I was angry with myself for having missed it, although it may not have been entirely my fault. So when I get angry, I either eat or I buy star. You know, that's my masochism. I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I don't gamble, whatever. And I luckily, the Rabbanu Shalom was good to me that I had no checks on me, and I had one $10 bill. That was it. And the guy wanted $10 for this.
What bookstore they were trained to?
This was Osar Sfarim, Goldman, on the east side. This fellow, in Eretz Yisrael, Shlomo Sternberg, put together an anthology, a source book, from the year Tofresh Mentet, giving you all of the schmutz. I don't recall exactly if I read to you and I introduced you. This I showed to you. I did last time. But I'd like to do some of these to once again show you my basic intention and my entire motivation here. That you cannot begin to understand our positions today vis-a-vis Eretz Yisrael and anti-Zionism or pro-Zionism or whatever, unless you see 100 years ago what the Orthodox, the Torah community did, and how it muffed the ball, what a horrible error it committed, only because it couldn't get its act together. Simple as that. If the Rabbanu Shalom in his infinite chesed only gave them a bunch of pizza shops, that they had to go work out the small things, the hashkocha, from the small they would have been able to grow to the larger, maybe things would have been, you know, been totally different. So I hope that's where I would like to go in the next couple of sessions, in the hope that it doesn't get too heavy and too technical. If it does, you know, you'll have to stop me, because it is horribly boring. But let's go. Page 1. Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel. Klolius Din Shmita, the general rules. Of Din Shmita v'im bizman hazeh min haTorah, is it min haTorah ubo yud seifim, we have 10 halachas. Seif Aleph, mitzvah saseh min haTorah be'eretz Yisrael, one of the Taryag mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael is lahashmit me'avodas haaretz, to desist. Shamot means to stop. Me'avodas haaretz, from working the land, achas l'sheva shanim, once every 7 years, ki dechasiv b'parshas mishpotim, quote, Sheshonim Tizra es Atzechov, Ve'osavta es Tfuoso, Vahashviyis, and on the seventh year, after 6 years of work, Tishmetena, you shall abandon it, desist, Unetashto, etc., and so forth. Ubesinai Nemra Mitzvah Zol, and at Har Sinai, even though they didn't see the sight and the height of Eretz Yisrael yet, it was told at Sinai in Parshas Mishpatim, Biklol Yosel, in all of its basic fundamental rules, Uproti Yosel, in all of its halachas, Ki Dechsi Beparshas Har Sinai, as we have over there in Har Sinai, that even though they had nothing but Shemitah in the desert, it was only in Eretz Yisrael when they got there, and this is an important point for later. Nonetheless, in the Sedra Behar, they already say it again. The Chol HaTorah Nemro Klal Yosel Protosel Misinai. They should understand that all of the halachas that were Osid Lavo, that was for the future, were all stated in Har Sinai. That's where you learn to be applied once you get there. The Kama Gedolah Mitzvah Zu, and you have no idea of how fundamental this mitzvah is. Ulehefech. And its converse is Kama Gadol Onsho. The responsibility that you take when you don't observe it. Shaharei Batochacha de Bechukosai. At the end of Parashat Bechukosai in the Tochacha, Perto HaTorah Onsho Bifnei Atzma. And when it came to all of the Klalos in Bechukosai, this one it specified. Ki Dechasiv. That you know what's going to happen. When you'll go into Golas and you'll be a driven leaf in Golas all of these years, Oz, when you're out of the land, Tirtzeh Ha'oretz Es Shapsoseh, the land itself will call out to you for Shemitah that it didn't have when you were there. Kol Yemei HaShamot Hishbos Es Asher Lo Shapso, and all of those years that it will lay fallow and desolate, you should know that the land is crying that it had to observe all these Shemitahs consecutively in all of these years of destruction. Now, you know, that is, for a romanticist who looks inside, that statement is enough. The land calls out. When did the land call out to humanity and humanity didn't want to answer? Kol demei achicha. By Cain and Hevel, so Akim and Lai, I hear the blood of your brother yelling to me. Do you hear it, Cain? You don't hear it? I hear it. The blood is crying. How can blood cry? I hear it. To be able to hear the cry of the land that it wants Shemitah. Oz Tirtzeh Ha'aretz Shapsoseh. It's, you know, it's not logic. You can't computerize that. You've got to understand it in its nistar form. It's underneath. Why does the land want it? Because the land wants to sustain its children. And its children cannot be sustained by working 365 days on tomatoes and corn and whatever else. You've got to take a year off for sabbatical. You should educate your brain a little also.
How do we explain this? Well, the whole earth, so many other parts of the earth, there's so many fertile lands that don't have this problem, and things grow much better than they do in Eretz Yisrael, and even parts of the U.S., the climate is better. Everything is better than Eretz Yisrael.
I got you.
Where is this? We have a desire to be in Eretz Yisrael, but what did God do this for?
Some Mepharshim, look, your question is Tamei
HaMitzvos. There's a desert there, it's a Negev, it's... Awesome.
Listen to me. Your question is Tamei HaMitzvos. The reasons for it. What did God do for it? So there are various reasons. It would seem as if... And this is a machlokes between the Poskim and the Mepharshim. Is it for the land's benefit, or is it for humanity's benefit? So even though it says, Oz Tirtzeh, or it's a Shapsosel, the land will want to rest... So Mepharshim say it's not because the land needs the rest necessarily. Okay? Because if we'll figure out how to rotate crops and modern technology will not strip the land and deplete the land of all of its essential nutrients, so then the reason is Bottle and Mavutal, it no longer exists. It's the people. One of our own is sitting there farming. He's dying for this tape over here so that when he goes in the field, he should be able to carry a tape recorder, or in his truck, Harvey should be able to carry a tape recorder and listen to a little Torah, because he goes at it day and night, and he doesn't have enough time to learn.
But then you could conceivably say that modern technology could solve that problem too.
Hey, look at Hami. Okay. And thank God for modern technology. You know, so that if we won't use the legal fiction, the aroma of the Mechira, so we'll use another legal fiction. You know what it's called? Hydroponics.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll grow a tree, but it's not in the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what hydroponics are?
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll grow it in a trough that has water in it and get bigger trees with a greater yield than ever before. And what can I do? That's the ingeniousness of halacha.
Did you discuss that by any chance in your last? I had to leave early.
Hydroponics? No,
yeah,
I didn't touch it.
Is that?
Oh, we have to look at it.
Is that being addressed? Is
100%. What's there to talk about?
That's what the Aguda, a lot of the, I don't know all of them, but I know a number of the Aguda kibbutzim in Israel which can't go by the Heter Mechira, go by hydroponics.
You see, but it wasn't developed by Aguda. Again, you're only telling half the truth. The Aguda split with the left-wing Shkotzim called the Poalei Aguda over politics.
Mm.
And that story has been written. When you read it, if we can just take out the names, I'm afraid the Aguda would get a very black eye from that issue. Now, you know how time has a way of healing. It's about 40 some odd years, has a way of healing, and now all the Aguda areas use the hydroponics.
Yeah, but it's interesting you said about Aguda. I saw in the Jewish press 2 weeks ago, Aguda's Yisrael party in Eretz Yisrael is being sued, a multi-million-dollar lawsuit being financed by an untold European businessman because they have not held elections, they have not held
intra-party elections, according to their constitution.
To change committee members, it's been the same committee members and leaders for the last 40 years.
The real issue is the Knesset representatives.
And people are challenging that.
Okay.
It sounds familiar to what we know about the Aguda Knicks here. They also don't believe in meetings, and they like to appoint people and just say, you're in charge of this for the rest of your life, you're in charge of this for the rest of your life, and you go, no democracy.
Well, this is the...
If you'd only
read the Aguda history, you would see, again, you would see a mirror image of ourselves, and we've got to laugh at ourselves. This is what we are replicating. The Litvakis, Aguda was a tripartite organization. The Germans, the Lithuanian Misnagdim, and the Chassidim, the Polish Chassidim, the Ger. Okay, so it was hoped that it would be the Yeki money, yeah, the Lithuanian brains, and the dominant majority, Polish Chassidim, by virtue of their numbers, would take over, with others' monies and others' brains. And they've been fighting this for the last 70 years. That's all. And Baruch Hashem, they're ready to destroy themselves. That's all. Finished. That's it. And the Rebbeinu Shalom sits and laughs. You think I wish them ill? I wish them harm? Chas v'shalom. But to dissipate all of our measly energies on this, when we got a world out there that's sinking. Let's get back to learning Torah.
In the Jewish Community News, or one of the papers, they had a picture of some group planting trees in Israel this year, and they said because of the Shemitah year, they were covered. The roots were covered with plastic or plastic bags around it. Or that make any sense?
Yeah, similar to hydroponics, and it doesn't have the unique. It's not in the ground. It's separated from the ground. You know, I mean.
Also, one quick question.
All of the issue. That's the ingenuity of halacha.
Are flowers covered by Shemitah? Are you allowed to use flowers?
We'll go down. The answer is yes.
You are allowed.
The answer is yes, but. It's always yes, but. Wildflowers, in certain situations, yes. However, the issue is a much easier one. Not all territories of today's Eretz Yisrael are bound by Shemitah. So I mentioned Harvey, that's Harvey Gibber. Harvey in Gaza is not bound by Shemitah.
Oh,
he's outside of the limits.
But the ones that are in in the Eretz Yisrael, it's covered by Shmita. Their flowers are also covered by Shmita. That's a big industry now.
Yeah, you buy it on the street today.
I have this year's manual that lists, like we have the OU directory for Pesach, they have their directory for Shemitah, product by product, and how to act with it. Then, Mitzvah Hashem, I hope to share with you. I thought I'd brought it with me tonight. But let's come. Let's make some more headway. All right, in Halacha Aleph, Bishaninu B'Taras Kohanim. Seven lines from the bottom. We learned in the Medrash Halacha, Taras Kohanim on Vayikra, Shom, there in Parshas Bahar, in Parshas B'chukosa, I'm sorry, Oz Tiltseh Ha'oretz. What do you mean that the land will desire? I'll tell you what it means. Ani amati lachem, I, the Ribbono Shel Olam, told you, Shetehez or the Imshesh, that you should sow for six, Umishamtim li ba'achas, and go ahead and lay fallow, let the ground lay fallow for 1 year. The same way as Shabbos, do not be a consumer, so that you know that li kol ha'aretz, and I, the Ribbono Shel Olam, own everything. Lashem ha'aretz u'maloa. I ask you to do the same thing on the farm. Farm who goes ahead and grows constantly and consistently forgets who the land.
Why only in Israel then? Why, he owns the whole world.
I hear what you're saying. But Torah is for Eretz Yisrael. This is Mitzvah Satlius Baris.
It's not for Jews. It's for Israel.
For Eretz Yisrael. We learned it. As we will see. In Si'if Beis. We'll see that. V'atem lo asisem kein. You defied me. Alright. Elo. Therefore. Omdu v'galu mimena. They had to go ahead and be exiled. V'hi t'shamet me'eleho. And as a result of Golos, I will then be able to make up all of the lost Shemitahs that were not observed. According to Pirkei Avos. And on the other hand, if we stop worrying about the negative and emphasize the positive, the observance of Shemitah is mevia bracha. There has to be bracha for society. Dichsiv v'sivisi es pirchasi lachem. Do it my way, and I will command bracha to arrive. You see. So the Aruch HaShulchan, who is no romanticist, and he doesn't give you drushes, starts off right here to indicate to you that even though you will later on see, as I will write, he says, that Shvius is not midoraisa v'zman hazeh. Okay, you have to look at it totally differently. Halacha base, sif base. Me'em asay nischayvu Yisrael b'shmitim b'yovlos. When were they required to go ahead and observe Shemitah and Yovel? Answers the Aruch HaShulchan, lachar yudalid shana, only 14 years after mishenichnesu le'eretz Yisrael v'kibshu v'chilaku. The first 14 years Shemitah and Yovel didn't count. You know why? Because Ha'osek B'mitzvah is part of the mitzvah. They had other mitzvahs which preceded that. And that was the Yirash of the Horashtem Es Ha'aretz. You will inherit the land, the Yishavtem Bo, and then settle on it. And once you inherit the land, which means fighting, and settle it, which also means fighting, it means guerrilla warfare for a couple of years until things get settled down. After those 14 years, you worry about Shemitah.
Wouldn't that serve as a precedent for future decisions? As a legal,
it's not
98 years ago.
No, once it goes into effect, it goes into effect. Just because it didn't go, I mean, you could argue, that
the first 14 years, the clock wasn't turned on yet. Once the clock is turned on.
No, it was, but they were busy with other mitzvahs, so they didn't have to do it.
No, but he's saying differently. The clock wasn't turned on. Okay? Kidetanya, the third line, the way we learned in a brisa, b'taras kohanim, the pasuk says kisavo el aretz. When you arrive, yachol, I may think mistakenly mishebo ulever hayarden, that Shemitah and Yovel should start the minute they arrived in Ever Hayarden in Jordan, when Moshe was still alive. As Talmud Lamar, the pasuk continues to tell us we were wrong. Kisavo el haaretz, to the land that you will come, eretz hamiyuchedes, that very special land, which is the side of Yerushalayim. Now, minayin ata omer kivshu, avalo chilku, chilku l'mishpachos, velo chilku l'beis avos.
Maybe we didn't have to wait all the 7 years until everything was conquered and then subdivided and further subdivided piece by piece, family by family. It's Talmud Lomar, Sodcha. It has to be your field. Sheyehei kol echod ve'echod. In the singular is Makira Sadehu. You know exactly your plot of land. That means down to the finest end and detail of dividing the land, and then and only then nimtzei satomer kevan shavru esayadein nischayivu v'chalo v'orlo v'chodosh. Chalo, immediately they were chayavin. Orlo, immediately. Chodosh, immediately, etc. and so forth. But la'abas reishano, only 14 years later is nischayivu b'masros. Once they started with maser, because you had your own land to grow fruit, is hischidu monim nishmita. Then they started the Shemitah. And in the 21st year that they were there, after 7 years of conquest and 7 years of inheriting it and dividing it up, 7 years later, they went ahead and made the first Shemitah, which was the 21st year that they were in Eretz Yisrael. And then finally, after Shishim Ve'arba, another 64, then after 64 years, okay, that was the first time is Osu Yovel.
And does this serve, recognizing your field, does that serve as a lucky precedent? So do you have to be on the field that's yours ancestrally?
No. Well, but when does ancestrally start?
And here, when they divide it up. And here it says, when they divide, it starts when they when you
yeah,
divide
but she, I learned, I understand, Sheyehei Makia, Kol Echad Be'echad Makia Sadehu, means that you know exactly where you belong. It's your piece of land.
Your piece of land meaning that that it's yours in terms of that you belong to this family and that.
That's right, and it was assigned by the Shevet, and it was assigned by Yehoshua.
Yeah, so it is.
Which
that
means
only,
it's the end of the process.
So it's all, is that only that? Now, what I'm asking is, who asked before? Is this a precedent for afterward? If once you get mixed up, I mean, now, I mean, I can go back to Eretz Yisrael, but I can't go back to where you know.
I hear what you say. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, we had Rambams. And the Rambam already set the clock, and I will admit that it may be reset the clock that we've been counting since that time. And he based it on the Gonim a little before him. Because remember, in the times of the Rambam, Eretz Yisrael was almost desolate. There was almost no one there. But we rely on that clock. And that issue is one of the most boring calculations in the world, to be able to figure out which it is. But that's the way we hold. We take the Rambam, we have his years, we continue on and on from that point. So that if you're going to press, just if you're going to press me to say that there may be a mistake, talk to the Rambam, not to me.
So even if you don't recognize which field is really yours, it would still hold. It was just that didn't start until you knew
It was only to prime the pump that we did it that way. And once the clock was ticking, it was ticking. We're going to assume that the Rambam knew exactly how to figure, and whatever he establishes the years of Shemitah, we count from that time, and that's it.
Did you say that Yerushalayim wasn't conquered till David HaMelech?
So.
And all this time, we didn't own Yerushalayim.
No.
The heart of Israel, how do we...
It's a fantastic question. I don't know how to answer it. Didn't even occur to me.